I was going to tell the story this morning of a violin maker, but then I thought to myself, violins get all the attention. And so I thought instead I'd tell the story of a viola maker. If you're not familiar, a viola is a little bit bigger, a little bit lower, and way cooler than the violin. And I just happened to play one back in the day. But anyway, there was a viola maker who decided that he was going to make the perfect viola. And so he spent years and years crafting this instrument, making it beautiful, paying attention to the acoustics, and just making it the perfect instrument. Well, the greatest violist in the world heard about this viola maker and the viola that he was making, and he came to this viola maker and said, "I would like to play and purchase this viola that you've made." The viola maker looks at him and says, "Play it. This is going up on my wall. It's the most beautiful and perfect viola ever made. Maybe I'll even sell it to a museum so that people can look and appreciate the beauty of this instrument that I've created." This viola maker knew how to make the perfect viola, but he didn't get the point of what a viola is. It's an instrument that's intended and purposed to make music. Millions of people read and study and quote and teach the Bible all over the world, including myself. But this thing, as great and beautiful and wonderful as it is useless unless we get the point, what it's really about, what it's for, why it has been given to us. The Scriptures, above all, before anything else, are given to us to lead us to Jesus. Jesus is the point of the Scriptures. And I've said this in other ways at other times, but I want to look at it again today through the lens of John 5. And as we're talking about learning to listen, and we've been talking about the Scriptures and getting into them and knowing them, but the question that we must ask is, what is the point? So that as we get into the Scriptures, we are understanding that above all, they are here to lead us to Jesus. So this morning I want to go at this from three directions. I want to talk about our perceptions of people who know the Bible. I want to make a key distinction. And then I want to talk about a direction for getting into the Scriptures in a way where we really don't just know about it, but understand the point, getting the point. First of all, our perceptions. I'm going to ask you to imagine someone. Get a picture of someone in your mind. And I'm going to give you a phrase to describe them, all right? And so when I give you this phrase, try and draw up the first thought, of the first picture that comes to mind of what kind of person this is describing. I want you to picture someone who knows their Bible. Someone who knows the Bible. What are some of the first thoughts that came to mind? This is audience participation. Any thoughts that came to mind? Me, okay, yeah. What else? What are your grandmother knew the Bible? Any other perceptions? People who know their Bibles? David knows his Bible. That's true. That is very true. Good. Yeah, I think it's great that in this community we can point to some people in our lives, grandmother, some congregants here who know their Bibles. I want to bring up some other perceptions, though, too. Perceptions of people who know their Bibles, and these are kind of the extremes that I think we see all around us. These are some of the most maybe vocal or people we pay most attention to who know their Bibles. Four different types of people, and realize these are somewhat of stereotypes. First, I think we have a perception of the academic. Someone who knows their Bible, who is a seminary professor or a college professor, who knows their Bibles. And the academic is someone who looks at the Bible and knows that they're kind of sitting up, though, in their ivory tower, you know, so to speak, and kind of distanced from real life. They know their Bible, but you can't really see how it applies at all. Second category is the debater. And the debater can quote verses, but they quote verses always to make their point, to prove God or defend their point of view. Third category is the hater. The hater seems to find every Bible verse. They know their Bibles. They find every Bible verse that talks about a specific sin, and they want to always bring it up to other people and to show people where they're wrong. And then fourth category is the rule follower. And this person knows their Bible too. They're kind of the goody-two-shoes, who leads a boring, cloistered, repressed kind of life. All of these people know their Bibles. In Jesus' day, there were a lot of people who knew their Bibles as well. Of course, we're not talking about our New Testament here, but the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament. There were a lot of people who knew their Bibles, and that is who Jesus does a lot of interacting with. That's who Jesus is interacting with and speaking to in this passage in John 5 today. From other Gospels, we hear them called Pharisees and chief priests and scribes and teachers of the law. John kind of lumps them all together. These are people who knew their Bibles. And I think they kind of fit some of these categories. These were people who felt that they were called to preserve the law of Moses, the Scriptures, to teach them. They put great efforts into guarding their traditions and to following the rules. Some of them were lawyers who could make great arguments. Some of them were the theologians of the day. They could quote endlessly from the Bible. And not only from the Bible, but from centuries of people who wrote about the Bible and taught the Bible. These are people who knew their Bibles that Jesus is talking to in John 5. In fact, the dispute here arises because Jesus has healed a man on the Sabbath. And a group looks at this and says, "You are breaking the rules. This is not what it says in the Scriptures." And that's who Jesus is speaking to today. Some of these, you can see some of these categories, the academic or the debater, the hater, the rule follower, in these people that Jesus is speaking to. And what Jesus does is he makes a key distinction. He says, there is a difference between knowing your Bible and understanding your Bible. Knowing what the Scriptures say and understanding what the Scriptures are all about. Jesus suggests that just knowing the Bible doesn't guarantee a good Christian or a good believer or worshiper of God. Kind of for the academic, the Bible is, they know it, but maybe they don't understand it. The Bible for the academic can be an interesting artifact to be explained. I can teach others all about all the intricacies and details of the Bible. And it kind of builds them up, and so the Bible becomes a way of showing that I'm smart. I know it. For the debater, the Bible is this key to a religious system that needs to be defended. And the Bible becomes something for the debater to say, I'm right. For the hater, the Bible is this moral code to be followed, and it becomes a way of them justifying to themselves that I'm good, and you're not. And the rule follower, the Bible becomes a way to stay safe from judgment. As long as I follow the rules, I can look at the Bible and say, I'm safe, I'm good to go. But Jesus says to this group of people, you know the Bible, but you don't understand it. In verse 39, he says, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is they that testify on my behalf, and yet you refuse to come to me to have life. You know your Bibles. You know Moses and the law. You know the things that Moses said and wrote, but you don't understand it. He says at the end, and this is what would have really gotten to them, because these people have thought, we know Moses, we follow his law, he is kind of our patron saint, if you will. And he says to them, I'm not going to accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom you have set your hope. You put all your energy into knowing and following Moses' law. But he says, if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. These people can explain the Bible and defend it and follow its rules as they understand them, but they don't understand it. Jesus says, it's about me. It's not about you and your morality and your religious system. It's not about your knowledge of the Bible. The Bible is ultimately about me, the Messiah, the one in whom is life He tells them, if you really got the point, you would see that I am the fulfillment of the law. I am the prophet that Moses wrote about. I am the fulfillment of what Moses was called to do and be. It's about me. And so as we've been talking these last couple weeks about knowing our Bibles and getting in and studying them and having them cut to our hearts and finding wisdom in them, we want to battle this biblical ignorance. We don't want to be people who don't know our Bibles at all. And yet, on the other hand, we have to be careful that we don't fall into biblical arrogance as well. Just as harmful, or even more harmful. Knowing our Bibles just enough to use them for our purposes instead of finding God's purposes in them. Now, I'm aware of the ways that this is a challenge to me. In one of the New Testament letters, it says that teachers will be judged more harshly than everyone else because they know it. They should know better, kind of thing. And I know and I see in myself times where I want to be the academic or I want to defend some, and I get lost in those things and forget that ultimately this thing is about Jesus. And so I feel an obligation, in a sense, to preach this sermon today to myself as a reminder to me, but also to all of you. Because if I'm going to encourage you to get into your Bibles and your scriptures and know them and learn them and listen to them, I need to be very clear about how to use them. Because the Bible is powerful, which means that it can also be dangerous if we don't use it for what it was intended to be used for. We need not to just know our Bibles, but to understand our Bibles. And so, some direction for using and understanding our Bibles. The Bible, but first and foremost, above anything else, is a story about God. About a God who created the world, about a God who is saving and has saved and will save the world. The more we make it about us and what we do and how we feel, the further we get from really understanding. And that's what Jesus makes clear. He says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have life. He says, it's not in the scriptures that you have life, it's in me that you have life, the living word of God. The scriptures lead us and direct us to where we can find life. And that destination is God, Jesus. It's what Jesus says in John 5. It's what Jesus says in other Gospels as well. If we flip back just a few pages to the end of Luke's Gospel. In Luke 24, the resurrected Jesus encounters two of his disciples on the road, and they don't recognize him. But he says to them, or it says in verse 27, what Jesus did was, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. Then later in the chapter, later in time, Jesus is with his disciples, and they know they recognize him this time. In verse 44, it says, then Jesus said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, that's the whole Old Testament, must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. I love that passage. Jesus is giving them a new way to read the Bible. He's helping them to get the point so that the true meaning and purpose of the Bible can come alive in his followers. That's Luke 24. It says something similar in Matthew 5. He says, do not think that I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. I haven't come to abolish them. I've come to fulfill them. Jesus is the fulfillment of what is written in the scriptures. And in Luke 4, he does something, again, very similar. He takes that passage we read before from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to proclaim good news to the oppressed and so on. And he reads that in the synagogue, and he folds it up, and he says, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. He says, this is about me. I'm the fulfillment. I'm the point of what this is all about. The Old Testament is leading us to the Messiah. And the New Testament tells us that this Messiah's name is Jesus. And to understand that changes everything about how we approach the Bible. How can we, like the academic, distance ourselves from reality and stay up in our ivory towers and know all the details about the Bible, but never get our hands dirty when the Bible is leading us to a God who became a man? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and He touches people and heals people. He gets His hands dirty. How can we use the Bible to just condemn others when the Bible is leading us to someone who, instead of condemning, forgave and sacrificed Himself and went to the cross so that others could be healed? How can we focus on our traditions and systems when we see the scope of what God is doing in this world, making a new creation through the resurrection of Jesus? It changes everything to understand that the Bible is leading us to Jesus. So some practical tips. If that's the point of the Bible, Jesus is the point of the Bible, the Messiah, then how can we engage the Scriptures in a way that actually leads us to that point, that actually leads us to encounter and follow Jesus? A few practical tips, which is what I've been trying to do throughout this series. And the first tip is a negative one. When we say that the Scriptures are all about Jesus, we are not trying to shoehorn Jesus into every little verse of the Bible, okay? Some people have done that and gotten some crazy interpretations out of that, trying to find Jesus in every verse. There's a story in the Old Testament. This is a classic example, but there's a story in the Old Testament where there's this red cord that is hung out a window. And people who have been trying to find Jesus in every passage said, oh, that red cord is a symbol of Jesus' blood. No, it's not. It really isn't, okay? So we're not trying to just make up some crazy ideas of finding Jesus in every verse, all right? But here is what we can do to really understand the Bible as something that's leading us to Jesus. First, we read the Bible as a story. We engage in story reading, understanding that the Bible, every piece of the Bible is that story leading us to Jesus. And I have a couple tools for us. One is this little book. It's called the Jesus Storybook Bible, and it is a children's Bible. Yes, we read it to Leah at night, okay? But it's really a fantastic little book, all right? The subtitle is Every Story Whispers His Name. It's a really neat little book about how to understand the Bible as a story that's leading us to Jesus, all right? And so I got this week for the church library, and if you want to take a look, you can. It just goes through the Bible and tells stories, and at the end of every story, it kind of shows how is this pointing us to Jesus and leading us there. So I just encourage you to take a look at this. If you're offended that I've offered you, all of us adults, a children's Bible, this is a little more advanced. It's called God's Big Picture. It's a small book, but it just helps us to understand the storyline of the Bible. Where is this Bible leading, and how does it bring us to Jesus? This is also in the church library, if you want to check it out. But we need these resources to help us to see that the Bible is not just this random collection of fables. Okay, David and Goliath, so I should have courage, or, you know, ways we disconnect them from the story. These are not random stories. These are one cohesive story that's bringing us to the Messiah. So story reading, reading the Bible as a story, is one way that we have the Bible lead us to Jesus. The second method is glimpsing. In the Scriptures, we get all kinds of glimpses of Jesus. Moses, for instance, he promises to the people a prophet who would come after him who would be like Moses, and the people were expecting the second Moses kind of figure. In Moses, we get a glimpse of who Jesus is going to be. King David. Sometimes we hear Jesus described as the son of David. And in King David, we get a glimpse of our king, Jesus, our ultimate king. Okay? Even the sacrificial system. Sometimes Jesus is referred to as the Lamb of God. In the sacrificial system, in the sacrificial lamb, we get a glimpse of who Jesus would be as the sacrifice for our sins. So throughout the Scriptures, we get these glimpses of Jesus. They point us to the Messiah and what Jesus is going to be all about. And those are just a few examples. Story reading, glimpsing, needing. As we read the Scriptures, there are going to be a lot of points where we sense our need for something. Our need for God to do something with us, whether it's forgive us or guide us, give us wisdom, help us, give us strength to live this life, endure through trials. We get a sense of our need as we read through the Bible story. And when we sense that need, we are pointed to Jesus, who has and can meet those needs. And then finally, hoping. There are all kinds of hope-filled passages in the Scriptures that say this is what God is doing, this is what God has planned. And when we experience, when we're captivated by those hope-filled passages, again, we're pointed to Jesus, who is the one who fulfills all of those hopes through the cross and through the resurrection. Those are just some of the ways we engage the Scriptures that help us to see that, to get the point that they're about Jesus. The Scriptures are like that perfect viola that viola maker made. They're beautiful. They're wonderful. They're wise. They're intriguing. They're interesting. They're even entertaining sometimes. But ultimately, they're useless unless we get the point, what they're for. Jesus lives out the Word. He is the living Word. He is the fulfillment of the Scriptures. And so it is not in knowing the Scriptures that we come alive. It is in knowing the one to whom the Scriptures point that we come alive. And then, when we understand it, it's then that the Word of God begins to come alive in us as Jesus' life is lived out in our hearts and our community. Let's pray. Loving God and living Word, we ask that you would enlighten us as we get into the Scriptures and help us understand them. Help us to be led to you. Help us to never forget that whether we are reading law or story or prophecy or poetry or psalms or any of these things, that they're ultimately about you and what you have done for us in Jesus. Amen.